Something that we do with all of our orders online is we reuse all of our packaging that we send out to people. And I put stickers on them, which are biodegradable, you know, to say it's reused packaging and to say thank you as well, because I think it's really important.
It's the E-commerce Master Plan podcast, here to help you solve your marketing problems and grow your e-commerce business. Cutting through the hype to bring you inspiration and advice from the e-commerce sector and beyond. Here's your host, Chloe Thomas.
Hello and welcome. It's great to have you here. Thank you for hitting play and choosing to listen to one of our inspiring guests. Me and the team get so much joy when we see our listeners, yeah, you lot, raving about us on social or in lists or blogs. It's only fair to repay that joy by giving you a lovely shout out. So today I want to say huge thanks to Kathleen Sullivan-Garman, past guest in some of our Top Tips episodes, who put some lovely stuff about us on LinkedIn recently, listing us in her favourite podcast. In fact, we're at the top of the list of Kathleen's favourite podcasts. So, Kathleen, thank you so much for putting that post up and saying lovely things about us, and thank you for listening too. In this episode, we are catching up with a teeny tiny business who's doing some really cool stuff in terms of community, in terms of circularity and sustainability, in terms of leveraging the local community in the local area to source products, source packaging materials, source sales. Loads of really interesting stuff in this one. Whether you're also a small business or you're a huge business, I challenge you not to be inspired by this chat with Kate. And please listen to the end of the episode so you don't miss out on her top tips, frequently described as the best bit of the show, and my own take on this episode. If your tech stack is becoming a bottleneck to growth, it's time to replatform, and you should check out Shopline. Shopline is the modern commerce platform that's disrupting Europe as one of Asia's leading e-commerce platforms. Whether your bottleneck is setting up more sales channels like social commerce or expanding to new markets globally, Shopline takes care of everything from store setups, checkouts and payments to logistics and more. With single-click migration and out-of-the-box tools, they're there to help. The best part about it, you don't need to pay until your site is live. Here in the UK, they power brands like In The Style and Everything £5, whilst in Asia, they're the platform of choice for huge brands like Lego and Muji. If you want to scale, it's time to book your free trial or have a chat with one of the Shopline team. Find out what Shopline could do for you via ecmp.info/Shopline. That's ecmp.info/Shopline. Have you yet downloaded our ebook? To celebrate reaching episode 500, we've created an epic e-commerce success-focused ebook for you, packed with 500 top tips about how to make your e-commerce store more profitable, featuring the advice of many, many past guests alongside industry experts and many of you as well, our listeners. I've checked every single tip and organise the whole thing into sections for you, making it super easy to dip in and dip out and take inspiration as and when you need it. This ebook needs to be sat on your desktop or even printed and sat on your desk. Download your free copy right now at ecmp.info/ebook. Get 2024's most valuable e-commerce ebook now, ecmp.info/ebook. And now to introduce our special guest. Kate Doran is Flotsam Flow, an upcycled accessories brand founded in 2021 who create from waste that cannot easily be recycled or is impossible to recycle. Selling via the Shopify site, taking bespoke and corporate orders, and recently diversifying into workshops, they've even got 14 bins located around Cornwall to collect their raw materials. Hello, Kate.
Hello.
Awesome to have you on the show.
Thank you for having me.
Well, thank you for being up for it. How did you end up in e-commerce?
Well, I basically am a qualified secondary school teacher. I trained in design, technology and art because I've just always loved making things. And then 4 years ago, I had a subarachnoid brain hemorrhage And I just realized that tomorrow's never promised and that you just have to do what you love now. So I started struggling a bit teaching after my brain hemorrhage. And I've always sewn things. I just thought I'm going to get creative and get sewing again.
Wow. So that kind of horrible moment turned into let's get back into the sewing. And how did that end up becoming a business?
So I remember it was summer because it was really hot. And I just did a call out to the community on social media and said, does anyone have any like plastic waste items? And I remember the first item I got was like a plastic outdoor snakes and ladders boards that had broken. And I remember getting this bit of plastic. And obviously I know how to use sewing machines because I've done it in my degree and I used to teach textiles in school and such. But I was like, this is a new material. Like, I don't know how you stitch this. I don't know how strong it is. I don't know what machines you use to sew this. So it's all just completely new. But I love that way of just being creative and using all the different plastics.
So what on earth led you to start asking people for rubbish? Had you got bored of cotton? I mean, you know.
Well, when I did my degree was in graphic design. So we were always taught when you're doing your degree, looking at things that are slightly odd and different is good. So I did one of my final major projects on primary cross connection points. I don't know if you know what they are, but they're the little green boxes that you see on the side of the roads. And so I did my whole project on that, and I would stitch odd things like pigeons and wheelbarrows onto purses. So they've taught me through doing that to look at things in a different way and try doing things, you know, just differently. And just being in Cornwall, like there's so much waste that you see around on the beach, you know, after a summer's day, you just can go down to the beach and there's like lilos or inflatables, wetsuits just by the bin that is going to be thrown away. And then it's not until you delve deeper into that that you work out like, where is that going and what happens to it?
Brilliant. So you had this idea of creating something from that waste. At that point, were you like, I need a product to sell? Or did that come further down the line when you played around with a few snakes and ladders boards and lilos?
It just kind of happened organically. You'll find that the different materials lend themselves to being different things. So for example, on a wetsuit, you might cut the arm part in half and it might make a couple of purses, and then the main body bit is slightly larger so you can use it for pouches or backpacks. So I normally look at one item, you know, like an inflatable, and I'll cut it up and make lots of different things from that one item. But I try and use as much broken material as possible. So if I get like a broken flamingo, someone might say to me, can I have a bag like with a flamingo one? And I'll be, sorry, this is the only one I've got, you know, so no, not at the moment.
yeah, that's the other thing, isn't it? That single item. We'll probably get onto that later, but I'm really curious as to, I think a lot of people would have gone, right, okay, so I'm going to be doing some stitching and I'm going to be creating things based on these waste products I find. I'm just going to do craft fairs or I'm going to sell to friends. What led you to decide to take it bigger than that? Because obviously now you're doing workshops, you do corporate orders, you do the e-commerce piece. So what was it? Was it purely a desire to do this bigger, to reach more people? Or was there something else behind your decision to take that next step?
It was mainly, as I say, from my brain hemorrhage and just realizing I might not be here tomorrow. What things do I want to do that I've not tried doing before that I might regret not doing? So because of that incident, I was like, well, now's the time. It's better than any other time. I'm going to do it. I've always kept as well a part-time job a couple of days a week so that I don't have to fully rely on it, because I call myself like a creative. I don't really see myself as a salesperson. So I'd hate to be in that instance where I'm thinking, oh my gosh, I need to sell like 20 bags this week, or I need to do that. That's not like the type of person I am. I kind of just get the materials, I can just see what I want to make, and they're all just completely different, and I just go from there.
I like that. So to take the pressure off and make sure you're thoroughly enjoying every minute of it, you're doing a part-time job to give you that kind of hygiene level of income, and then you can properly enjoy what you're doing. Let's talk a bit about that single product. You were saying about the person who was like, oh, could I get in a flamingo bag? Like, I'm out of flamingos.
No flamingos.
I would assume that creates quite a bit more workload in terms of listing things on the site. And, you know, every single item has to be photographed, has to be written about. How do you manage that?
So I quite often on the Shopify site is very good because you can like duplicate products as such. So for example, I try and keep the shapes of the items similar. So like a shoulder bag or beach bag, the shapes of those will remain the same. I don't always use templates, so they're always kind of bespoke items. And with the plastic itself, it always moves or such. So it's always going to be completely different. But as you say, I just take photographs of each of those items because they are all completely different. Even if I made two bags the same out of the same material, they'd be different because of the pattern placement. So yeah, that's kind of how I go about that.
Just time consuming but necessary.
Yeah. I don't know a different way around that yet, but it's just how it has to be because I just don't think there's two items that are the same.
And from what you've said, you know, part of my brain's going, oh, how could we scale this? And you could start doing deals with people. So you've got loads of the same wetsuit or loads of the same Lilo or loads of the same something to create a bit more standardization. But I'm guessing that's exactly what you don't want for your business.
No, and also it would still end up being different. I'm not the type of person that would sit there and make, like, I don't know, 100 purses in one go. And I always think it's just nice to be different. I get bored of doing like the same task after a while, which I think is nice because then I'll end up going to make something else. So then all the items are completely different. And like you say, it's good for them to be different because then you've just got a separate item to what someone else might have as well. So it feels unique and special.
Yeah, that special element is definitely a very cool part of it. Do you find that that unique specialness is what brings the customers in? Or is it the circular nature of the products that they're made from waste? Or is it just they like the designs?
I think it's probably a mixture of both. I'm on the speakers list for the Women's Institute in Cornwall now. And I know I was at one of their talks and a lady came up to me before the talk and she said to me, oh, excuse me, my love, I thought you were here to talk about items made from waste. And I said, I am. And I had to show her like a wetsuit purse and say, this was a wetsuit. So it's really nice for me because people quite often look at the products and don't see it as waste or materials that can't easily be recycled. So I'll put labels on each of them to say, you know, I used to be a wetsuit or an inflatable or banner or whatever, you know, whatever that item was.
It's kind of like a brilliant thing, but an annoying thing when someone goes, I thought you made it from waste and this clearly looks like it's brand new.
But that's nice though, isn't it? Because then you're not making an item that just looks like rubbish, because people want items that are good quality, well-made. And I hope that's a reflection of our brand, because I am quite conscientious about the items and that they do have to be well-made and durable.
And how do you source the raw materials? You obviously now got the bins around Cornwall to collect this stuff, but how do you make sure you've got enough so you've always got something or you haven't got too much?
There's plenty when you look for it. So I started off calling out for the community, and it first started in the village that I live in. It was a time of COVID and the vaccination tent got vandalized, and it was just a point where I was starting out and still experimenting, and they had just put duct tape onto like the side of the marquee, which obviously didn't look attractive. And you know, it's the time where everyone's trying their best to help each other, you know, and get the vaccinations. So I created some like hand and heart shapes from plastics. I asked the GP surgery whether I could do this first. I didn't want to go all Banksy, but I then got the shapes and I stuck them onto the marquee to just show like community spirit and like helping each other. And all of that plastic came from the community. And then it's just grown from there. I was on the Cultivator Cornwall program. And through that, I got funding for mentorship. And I had a mentor called Clive Kessel. Through him, he introduced me to someone called Peter Giddings from Biffa. And I never believe things like until they happen. And I was talking to Peter, you know, when we were introduced, and he was like, well, how can I help you? And I'm thinking, well, first of all, this is Biffa. And I'm not sure, you know, what, first of all, like why they'd want to help me. I'm like one person. I don't understand.
Just, I'm going to butt in quickly, just for anyone who's not from our locality. The Biffa is a massive company who deal with waste. They put bins out, they do recycling, they do lots and lots of waste management, and they are huge. So just, I think people needed that background. So I would say, Kate, sorry, carry on with your brilliant story.
Yeah. So Peter said to me, he's like, what do you need? I said, I need some space. I'd initially been working on the kitchen table at my mum's house, and I just about to afford a very tiny studio space, which I was very grateful for, but there was no room to store anything. I had just one sewing machine that wasn't even an industrial sewing machine. It's just, I just used whatever I had and whatever I could afford and use. And I said, I need some space. So he went off and I thought, I probably won't hear from him again. And then a few months later, they offered me some studio space at their local depot. So I've now got a massive studio space at the Biffa Depot. And through Cultivator, I got funding for 4 industrial sewing machines. So I was like, when I first got the machines, I was too scared to use them. I was like, I don't know what to do with all of these.
So I guess from Biffa's perspective, they're in waste management and anything that can be done to stop the waste having to deal with going to landfill has to be good news. So I guess in some ways they were probably like, oh, brilliant, somebody wants to do some live recycling. Yeah, we'll give them some space. That's totally cool.
That's exactly, because that's what I didn't understand. When I'd got the space, I did say to Peter, I was like, obviously I'm very grateful for the space, but I don't understand why Biffa are helping me. And he said, you know, even though Biffa is this massive organization and I'm a really small organization, we're both after the same thing, which is to reduce as much plastic waste as possible. So we're kind of sharing the same goals there.
And do they, obviously they've got those bins around the place that I guess they bring the bins to you then?
Yeah, so they collect the items that people have donated from those bins. They've supported me with the space as well, and like other things like going to Royal Cornwall Show and such as well.
So you do some face-to-face selling at the big events too?
I'm not very good at those, but I am there. I'm present.
Well, I think that's one of the things. In your first few years, you have to try out stuff and take a gamble and see what works. So what have you found has been some of the best things that have worked over the first few years of your activity?
So one of the things that I was also grateful for was some funding for a website, because I was going to local craft fairs, because that's the thing you do, isn't it? I don't know much about business. I can make things, but it's then what do I do with these? And the obvious thing, isn't it, is just go to craft fairs. But I found that not all of those events worked for us, and I got some funding for a website, and that has been great, you know, that e-commerce website. But then I'm kind of learning as well that it's still growing, but there are more businesses approaching us asking us to reuse either their old uniforms or plastic waste and turning them into other items or corporate gifts for them, which is another avenue that I just hadn't even thought of. Like, I don't think you can plan for these things. There's just things like that that just happen.
Yeah, definitely. In the first few years, you've just got to kind of almost stick it up and go, what's going to come to me? What's going to come to me? But I totally get how a big company like Biffa or Imrie's, or, you know, so many companies are like, we've got all this PPE or these banners that we can't use anymore. How cool would it be if we could turn that into gifts? Because they're all facing this waste and this sustainability angle. So you're also now doing workshops. Before getting on this call, I didn't know your background about being a teacher. So it makes a lot more sense to me now. But prior to that, I was like, what? Why, when you've got kind of a boundless supply of free materials that you could be turning into goods to sell for they're good looking goods, they're good products, why would you want to be spending your time teaching other people to do this for themselves? So what led you to do the workshops?
I just think it's so important to teach other people things. As I say, I used to teach secondary school students how to sew. And I think if I can get a class of 20 of those sewing, then I believe that anyone can sew. And I thought, what better way? Now I've got this amazing space with these sewing machines, what better way than to pass on that knowledge to doing these workshops? So when people come to the workshops, not only are they learning how to sew and use the sewing machines, there's a Biffa bin full of inflatables and plastics that they get to rummage through and find out what material they want to use. So they're seeing it from the beginning, from the broken inflatable and plastic item, how to sew it, design it, and turn it into this end product. I'm just so passionate about reducing plastic waste and showing people that there is another way about doing things and how we can use things.
So it's a really core part of kind of your vision and your mission, I suppose we would say.
Yeah.
Cool. And how are the workshops going? Are they fun?
They are fun. We've had a pause. I had a slight accident just before Christmas with a broken ankle. So we've had a slight pause on them, but they're going to come back. You mentioned earlier as well about like the banner materials from the businesses, and one of our other key parts that are really important to us as well, I say us, it's me, but I get into a habit of saying us, is turning things that might be seen as bad or negative into something good. So, for example, a couple of years ago, I think it was 2 years ago, one of my good friends passed away at Cornwall Hospice Care. She had cancer. And because of that, when I found out about her passing, I was making a pink backpack at the time. And I thought, I know I'm a business and I'm meant to be making money, but I can't sell this bag. So I donated it to Cornwall Hospice. And then since then, they've been donating all of their banners to me. So I make items and then donate things back to them as well. So at Christmas, I made some Christmas wreaths from their banners and donated them back to them as well. And recently they've done a call out for crafters to make hearts for the hospice so they can give out to the patients. And I just think things like that are just so important to be able to help other people.
I mean, obviously, with your business being online and working with, you know, big companies, you could quite easily be selling globally. But it occurs to me during a lot of our conversation that the local connections, the WI talks, the local workshops, the working with local charities and so forth, is a big part of why you're doing this and what you're wanting to do this. Do you think there's a lot of scope focusing on that local piece, even though you're also selling online?
Yeah, definitely, because you can be local, for example, where I am, but then you could also, one of our dreams for the future is to kind of like replicate this model in different areas so that people create their own communities. You've just got so many things in there where not only are you reducing plastic waste by making these items, but you're also educating others about sewing and how they can use the different things as well. So there's just so much scope for all of it.
E-commerce Master Plan is supported by some of the greatest companies in the e-commerce sector. Here's a reminder of who they are.
If your tech stack is becoming a bottleneck to growth, it's time to replatform, and you should check out Shopline. Shopline is the modern commerce platform that's disrupting Europe as one of Asia's leading e-commerce platforms. Whether your bottleneck is setting up more sales channels like social commerce or expanding to new markets globally, Shopline takes care of everything from store setups, checkouts and payments to logistics and more. With single-click migration and out-of-the-box tools, they're there to help. The best part about it, you don't need to pay until your site is live. Here in the UK, they power brands like In The Style and Everything £5, whilst in Asia, they're the platform of choice for huge brands like Lego and Muji. If you want to scale, it's time to book your free trial or have a chat with one of the Shopline team. Find out what Shopline could do for you via ecmp.info/Shopline. That's ecmp.info/Shopline. Have you yet downloaded our ebook? To celebrate reaching episode 500, we've created an epic e-commerce success-focused ebook for you, packed with 500 top tips about how to make your e-commerce store more profitable, featuring the advice of many, many past guests alongside industry experts and many of you as well, our listeners. I've checked every single tip and organise the whole thing into sections for you, making it super easy to dip in and dip out and take inspiration as and when you need it. This ebook needs to be sat on your desktop or even printed and sat on your desk. Download your free copy right now at ecmp.info/ebook. Get 2024's most valuable e-commerce ebook now, ecmp.info/ebook.
It's time for the top tips round.
Okay, I love this section because it gives me and our listeners some really quick ideas for taking our businesses to the next level. Kate, are you ready for the top tips?
I think so. Let's go.
Let's do it. Okay, the book top tip. If everyone listening to this podcast agreed to take Friday off and read a book to make their business better, which book would you recommend?
It's probably a bit of a different book to what people might have said in the past, but I would recommend The Secret by Rhonda Byrne. I don't know if you've heard of it before, but we were brought up, mum was a bit spiritual, and when our granddad passed away, she would like say, oh, if you see a bumblebee, that's granddad. And It's just about believing and manifesting like the things that you want. I'm still on my way to believing it. So I'm not the type of person that's all the way there at the moment. But I just think that there's something more there than what we know about.
Oh, there's definitely something in it. But yeah, I know what you mean. I'm not a non-believer.
Exactly.
I know exactly where you are. It's a great book, The Secret, too. Well worth a read.
Yeah.
So I like that recommendation. Okay, the traffic top tip. Which marketing method do you either prize above all others or think doesn't get the press it deserves?
So the main thing that I found, and as I've mentioned, I don't see myself as a proper business person, but I just find like being genuine and authentic. So telling, you know, the audience what's going on, what you're doing, you know, the ups and downs, just saying it how it is and, you know, kind of the storytelling, like why you're doing something or what's happening in your life as well, just to be like really genuine.
It's such good advice, and so many businesses absolutely fail to do it. And I think that is one of those areas where the small businesses can leapfrog past the big businesses because it just comes so naturally to share what you're doing and to talk about the challenges and what's happening and all the rest of it. Whereas big businesses are trying to approach it like back to front. So yeah. Really good advice.
They always think like you have to have a plan, which I'm sure you do have to have a plan, but I just see what comes up and what's happening. The community is so great and they're just so invested in what's going on and what's happening.
Yeah. No, love that. Tip two. Okay, number three, the tool top tip. Maybe a collaboration tool, a social media plugin, a phone app, or just a way of working. Is there a cool little tool you use that makes you and your team more efficient from day to day?
My favourite tool that I use is the scheduling tool, kind of that schedules posts to Facebook and Instagram. Because of my brain hemorrhage, one of the things that I found difficult is I quite often forget things, but I like to keep people posted on what's going on. So quite often I'll use a scheduling tool so that I know that those posts are going out about things that I'm doing and what's happening. And then I'll post up-to-date things, you know, in between as well.
Yeah, it's a great way to just make sure it's happening when you get distracted or forget or anything else. And do you use the scheduler that's in Facebook and that's in Instagram, or do you use a separate tool?
I use the one that's on the Meta Business Suite, the one that schedules to Instagram and Facebook. I've not got to the stage yet where I'm able to pay out for different scheduling tools, because I know that there are some amazing ones that just post to everything, and that's something I'd really love in the future. Then you don't even have to worry about anything. You just press one button, it's all done everywhere.
but why pay for it when you've got what you need straight out the box?
Wow, exactly.
Makes sense. Okay, the carbon top tip. What's your favourite way to reduce the carbon footprint of an e-commerce store?
So something that we do with all of our orders online is we reuse all of our packaging that we send out to people. I used to work in a bike shop part-time and I collected lots of boxes and brown paper that came in with their orders. So any items that sell from our shop gets wrapped in the brown paper, some brown string, and we send it in the reused packaging, and I put stickers on them which are biodegradable, you know, to say it's reused packaging and to say thank you as well, because I think it's really important to thank those people who are buying from you. I just make sure that they're, you know, able to biodegrade as well, so that's really important.
I love that. I think that's such a, especially for smaller businesses, to kind of shout out to the community like you do with your raw materials and say, anyone got any packaging materials they want to get rid of? Instead of it going straight in the bin, those jiffy bags can be used again, the bubble wrap can be used again and everything else. I think that's such a good one. And as a small business, it saves you masses of cost as well.
Exactly. And they really help. Like we've mentioned the community a few times, but they're really helpful, and we wouldn't be in a position where we are without them. You know, they're always there. That's something I didn't imagine. They just big you up when good things happen. You know, they're just always there.
Love that. Those tips. Kate, before we say goodbye, anyone who wants to take a gander at your products and go and buy some of them, where can they find you and your business on the web and social, please?
So our website is flotsandflow.co.uk, and we are also on other social media. So we're on Facebook and Instagram under Flots and Flow. I do have some videos on TikTok as well, but I need to update some of those. But there are some longer videos on there where you can see how we make some items.
Oh, brilliant. Definitely stuff for us to go and check out. Kate, thank you so much for being on the show. It's been great chatting with you and hearing all the cool stuff you're up to. So thanks so much for being here.
Thank you very much for having me.
Well, I thoroughly enjoyed that chat with Kate. And I think there's so much we can all take from that, whatever the size of our business. There's the whole piece about talking to other people and finding those who are on the same mission. You know, she was surprised to find that Biffa, the big waste company, wanted to help her. But of course, what she's trying to do exactly solves one of their kind of big problems. Even if it's only from a PR perspective, it's still good news for her. There's also the circularity angle. I think we all in the industry need to be thinking of ways to use our waste products. How can we turn other waste products into new products? Such a clever way to do some of these things. And I think it would be well worth having a think about how you could bring circularity in. And then the bit about really focusing in on your home market and how you can, whether that's your own country, whether that's the local community, that bit about connection and all the things, all the great things that have happened in Kate's business over the last few years, simply by searching out those connections and those emotional connections to people has been phenomenal. So loads to learn from that one. To get your hands on the notes from the episode, including the top tips and links to what we mentioned, head over to ecommercemasterplan.com/podcast or use our direct episode short links. So just put ecmp.info/episode number into the URL bar. That's whatever the episode number is of this episode, not the words episode number. And you will go straight to the correct page on the website. When you get to the website, you can also add yourself to our email list so you don't miss out on any of the other things I share to help you improve your business. And if you like this episode, then we've just finished B Corp Month. We've just put out 4 episodes with businesses who are all taking slightly different approaches to sustainability and also talking about how they became a B Corp and what it's done for them. So why not have a listen to those? Just scroll back up your feed and you'll find those directly above or below, whichever way the order is going these days. If you want more on startups, head to ecmp.info/startup. And for those B Corps on the website, go to ecmp.info/B Corp. Thank you so much for tuning into this and every episode that you do of the E-commerce Masterplan podcast. Each week, I bring you a new interview with a large or a tiny business to bring you inspiration that will help you to succeed and thrive with your business, including progressing along the path to net zero. So if you know someone this show can help, please tell them to listen to the E-commerce Masterplan podcast. I hope you have a great week. Don't forget to keep optimizing.
Thank you for listening to the E-commerce Masterplan podcast. Find out more at ecommercemasterplan.com/podcast.
If your tech stack is becoming a bottleneck to growth, it's time to replatform, and you should check out Shopline. Shopline is the modern commerce platform that's disrupting Europe as one of Asia's leading e-commerce platforms. Whether your bottleneck is setting up more sales channels like social commerce or expanding to new markets globally, Shopline takes care of everything from store setups, checkouts and payments to logistics and more. With single-click migration and out-of-the-box tools, they're there to help. The best part about it, you don't need to pay until your site is live. Here in the UK, they power brands like In The Style and Everything £5, whilst in Asia, they're the platform of choice for huge brands like Lego and Muji. If you want to scale, it's time to book your free trial or have a chat with one of the Shopline team. Find out what Shopline could do for you via ecmp.info/Shopline. That's ecmp.info/Shopline.